Hebrews 11:6 tells us the importance of faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. So it's fundamental, it's crucial, it's essential. But I want to highlight for you this morning that the Bible talks about at least three kinds of faith. Three kinds of faith, but only one of these three kinds is true saving faith. And I know we want to have that saving faith, that true saving faith. To serve as our text, I invite you to open your Bibles or look on your device to James chapter 2. We'll be spending our time in James chapter 2 to look at three kinds of faith, three kinds of faith that James outlines. The first one he calls dead faith, dead faith. Let's begin in verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Profit. What does it profit? What value is it? What use is it if a man says, I have faith, but it's not active, it doesn't work? Does that faith save? And the answer, it's a rhetorical question, the answer is no. That is a useless faith. That is a dead faith. But he illustrates it in the next two verses. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What good have you done? We might ask. Notice what the illustration James is using. He's talking about a brother or a sister. There's that relationship within the family of God. And the need that they have is obvious. They're naked. They need food. They need clothing. They're hungry. They need food. And so the need is very, very obvious. It's real. And one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Depart in peace. That was a standard Jewish farewell. And we might say, have a good day. And be warmed and filled would just simply mean, I surely hope your needs are taken care of. We see someone who, by our visual sense, we see that they are in need. And we say, I hope you have a good day. Sure hope your needs are filled. What good has that done? And the answer is, it's done absolutely no good. It's been useless. And he's illustrating this principle that he highlights verse 17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, if it isn't active, it's dead. It's a dead faith. Dead faith. What is a dead faith? It substitutes words for deeds. In this illustration James uses, he's saying the right thing. It's a kind greeting and perhaps a sincere wish, but it's not followed up by action. It's the vocabulary for faith, but not the vocation of it. It's saying the right thing, but not backing it up with our words. It's professing. It's long on profession, but short on practice. It substitutes words for deeds. And another way of describing this dead faith, it's only an intellectual faith. It's using the right words, again, but not backing up words with the right action. Can this kind of faith save? We've already answered that. James describes it as a dead faith. Obviously, that faith cannot save. Faith without works is dead. Any declaration of faith that is not backed by a person's actions is a dead faith. That's one kind of faith. A second kind of faith that he describes is a demonic faith. A demonic faith. That seems like two terms you wouldn't use in the same phrase. A demonic faith? You mean demons have faith? Sure they do. Look with me first of all to verse 18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Notice that James says, here's this opposing viewpoints. Someone says, I have faith. Another says, I have works. And so they say, I've got it right. No, I've got it right. But James says, you show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Which faith is demonstrated? Obviously, the act of faith, the working faith. In fact, there's no way for a man to show or prove or demonstrate his faith except by doing something. The doctor says, take this medicine and you'll get well. How can I show that I believe that this doctor? By just saying, I believe that doctor. I'm going to get this prescription filled. I'm going to take it home with me and I'm going to look at it all day long. That's not going to do any good, is it? I demonstrate my faith and the fact that I trust that doctor by taking the medicine. Faith without works cannot be demonstrated. And then he gives this shocking example, verse 19. James says, you believe there is one God. You do well. That's good. Even the demons believe and tremble. The demons, the devil's underlings, the devil's servants, even the demons believe. If you go back to the gospel accounts, you'll read passages that tell us that these unclean spirits, these demons, acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. They not only believed in God, they believed Jesus was a Son of God. And they also believed in the existence of a place of condemnation. We studied recently in Mark 5 about the existence of a place of condemnation for these demons, and how the man who was inhabited by these multiple demons, he identified himself as Legion, for we are many. Those demons begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, Luke 8 and verse 31. They not only believe in God, believe in Jesus, they believe there's a place of punishment for them. And they believe Jesus will be the judge. And you believe that God is one, you do well. That's great. But even the demons believe that, James is saying. There's more to it than that. Not only do the demons believe, they tremble. Well, what kind of faith is demonic faith? We saw that a dead faith is one that's touched only in one's intellect. Demons go a step further. They not only believe, acknowledge that God is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, but they also tremble. It touches their emotions. That word tremble means to shudder. The root of the Greek word means to bristle. It's like having your hair stand on end. The demons shudder. They were afraid of Jesus. They trembled in his presence. That's how, that's characteristic, however, of demonic faith. Because even after acknowledging Jesus, even after trembling in his presence, folks, they remain demons. They didn't change. This is one step above a dead faith, but it's still not the faith that saves. It involves the intellect, yes. And acknowledging that God is real, even that Jesus is the Son of God. It may involve our emotions. Yes, we feel strongly about that. We're passionate about it. Can this kind of faith save, this faith that is characteristic even of demons? Absolutely not. Not a demonic faith. Not a faith that only involves the intellect and the emotions. Because thirdly, James talks about a dynamic faith. A dynamic faith. James 2, verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Second time he said that. Faith without works is dead. And he gives an example from the Old Testament, and that the Jewish audience, the Jewish Christians, would be very familiar with, and all of you Bible students are very familiar with, this Old Testament example of Abraham. He's a man of faith, the father of the faithful. And James talks about this example of dynamic faith as exhibited by Father Abraham. James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And that's one of those accounts. I love when I'm studying the scriptures, as I'm sure you do, to put myself into the story. But I have a very difficult time putting myself in Abraham's shoes on this occasion. He's instructed by God to go and take his son, his only son, the son of promise, and offer him as a sacrifice. I can't go there in my mind. And so when I read this record in Genesis 22, and it's Abraham and Isaac and a couple of servants at this point, and then they leave the servants behind, they're going to go up Mount Moriah. And Isaac asks his dad, "Here's the wood, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham knows. And don't you know his heart was breaking when he said in response, "God will provide." The language of the Hebrew writer tells us that Abraham, in his mind, in his resolve, had really already offered Isaac when he bound him up on the altar and raised his knife to slay him. He had already done it in his heart. Of course, you know the story that God stopped him. And God said, "Now I know that you fear me." And folks, God never did want a human sacrifice. He wanted Abraham to know, and he wanted Abraham to be able to demonstrate that faith that's the kind of faith that God is looking for. It's that dynamic faith. And after God stopped Abraham from slaying Isaac and provided that ram, that substitute, which pictured Christ to come, God repeated the promise that he had made to Abraham. Genesis 22:18. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Abraham's profession of faith wasn't just talk. It was action. It was commitment to do the will of God, even though he didn't understand it. How could God ask me to do this? But God, and Abraham had never seen an example of this, perhaps, or it must be that God is going to raise him after I slay him, because he trusted the promises of God. He was justified by God. He was counted as righteous. He was considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son on the altar. James 2:22. "Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect." I love that. Faith was working together with his works, working in conjunction. Faith and works cooperated. In fact, folks, I believe that we may grasp this better if we take out the word "and" in this statement, faith and works, and just leave it like this: faith works. Faith works. True saving faith is active. It works. It's not faith and works, folks. We're talking about faith here. James is describing the faith that saves. And it's the faith that obeys, that is active. It's not just intellectual assent. It's not just having our emotions touched. It's doing. It's responding. It's being obedient to the will of God. And by works, faith is completed. It's made perfect. It is authenticated. James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That statement is made, Genesis 15:6. This is many years before Isaac was offered as a sacrifice. But yet early on, his faith is credited, it's imputed to him as being righteousness. And that same faith that was accounted righteous was demonstrated by Abraham's obedience, not only when he offered Isaac, but when God told him to leave his home, when God told him to go to a place where he didn't even identify where he was going. Abraham had demonstrated this kind of faith, this active faith, by surrendering his will to the will of God. James 2:24 is conclusion. "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." And then he gives another example. And this is a contrast in examples. There was that example of Abraham, the father of the faithful. But then there's also Rahab. James 2:25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? And again, this is a tremendous contrast between Abraham and Rahab. Abraham, the father of the Jews. Rahab, a Gentile. Abraham, a godly man. Rahab had been a sinful woman, a harlot, a prostitute. Abraham, the friend of God. Rahab belonged to the enemies of God. But what did they have in common? They both believed, and based upon that faith, they trusted God and they acted upon their faith. It's that active faith that James is highlighting here. When they believed, their faith caused them to act. So what kind of faith is dynamic faith? Yes, it touches the intellect, but it's more than that. Because a faith that touches only the intellect is a dead faith, James says. It's a faith that touches our emotions and our intellect. But it's more than that, because just those two things is a demonic faith. It's characteristic of the faith of demons. A dynamic faith involves the intellect, the emotions, and the will. Because it involves our wills responding to the will of God, being obedient, and demonstrating our faith by our actions. True saving faith, then, leads to action. Folks, faith works. Faith works. Faith is active. That's saving faith. It doesn't just say. It doesn't just feel. But it acts. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see by faith Abel offered. By faith Noah built. By faith Abraham followed. And on and on. And it's describing an active faith. That's the dynamic faith. And so the question is, what kind of faith do we have? Is it just something that we've acknowledged in our minds? Yes, I believe. I've examined the evidence. And the evidence out in the universe suggests that design demands a designer. I acknowledge that there is a God, that God created this universe. There's no other reasonable explanation. That's great. You do well. In fact, your faith may also touch your emotions. You may be strong in your convictions and ready to take a stand and feel strongly about your convictions that there is a God, even that Jesus is the Son of God. That's wonderful. James would say, you do well. But he'd also say, even the demons believe that. Is our faith this dynamic faith, where we've made that mental acknowledgement, where our emotions are stirred, but then our lives have demonstrated that faith? That's the dynamic faith. How does this relate to my everyday life? We walk by faith, Paul says, not by sight. What kind of faith? It's that dynamic faith. A dynamic faith that acknowledges God for who He is. Acknowledges Jesus for who He is, the Son of God. It's a dynamic faith that trusts His promises. Like Abraham, he believed what God said. And so it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's how strong his faith was. But Abraham also demonstrated that faith, which is a key component of this dynamic faith that obeys Him because we trust Him. What is God saying to you and to me? I'm just going to put it in one simple sentence. I believe this is God's message for the word of the week, faith. God says, show me your faith. Don't just say it. Don't just feel it. Show me your faith. So we have to examine ourselves. What kind of faith do I have? Is it just a mental thing? Is it something that I feel as well? But even the demons acknowledge that. They have that kind of faith. Am I demonstrating my faith? Is that impacting my everyday life? Is my life demonstrating the fact that, yes, I believe that God is, and I trust His promises, and I trust Him so much, I'm going to do what He says. God says, show me your faith. Don't just say it. Show me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. God is looking for dynamic faith on our part. A dynamic faith will cause you this morning, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, a dynamic faith will lead you to do just that. Because a dynamic faith will cause you to acknowledge, yes, God is, and that Jesus is the Son of God. A dynamic faith will make you realize, I've got to turn from sin and change my life in the direction of my life to turning to follow Him. And a dynamic faith will lead you to repent, because that's what we just described. A dynamic faith will lead you to vocalize that faith and make that good confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And that dynamic faith will lead you to respond, to take those steps, even to respond this morning, to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. A dynamic faith will lead you to do that. It'll also lead us, even after we've done those things, even after we've become children of God, it'll cause us, if we've gone off in the wrong direction, or if our faith has been characterized more by what James would call dead or demonic, a dynamic faith will cause us to make those changes that we need to. And it may be that you desire the prayers of the church to that end. If that be the case, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?